This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
So Brazilians yesterday voted in the first round of a tense election dominated by two larger-than-life political figures. The first is the incumbent president, Jair Bolsonaro, and the second is the former president, Lula da Silva. Now, these men represent two very distinct sides of the political spectrum. The current president is regarded as very nationalistic, conservative, right-wing, controversial, whilst the former president is regarded as liberal. Yes, he believes in state intervention. He's left-leaning. And when he was president between the years 2003 and 2010, he introduced several pro-poor policies that actually yielded major success for Brazil, transforming Brazil into becoming the eighth largest economy in the world. And Brazil's indices have dipped since Lula left power. However, Lula, this left-leaning president, was also later implicated in a very serious national corruption scandal in the country, which ultimately saw him arrested, convicted, and even serving some time in prison. So he may have a very good track record in government, but he also has a tainted legacy. And those are really the things that Brazilians need to decide on as they go to what is called a watershed election. And of course, Brazil is one of the BRICS member countries, and to that end has been a partner in Africa, particularly Portuguese-speaking Africa, major investor in countries like Angola, and Mozambique as well. And so everybody in these countries will also be watching what is happening in Brazil. So let's get an understanding. We're joined by Emil Myberg, who is with Emil Myberg Attorneys, to talk to us about what Emilio, what's happening in Brazil. Listen, Emil, so please, let me forgive me. So I'd heard myself saying Emil Myberg, and then I see a note saying to me, no, he's Yumoli. And now I don't know if I'm saying the name correctly, and I just got tongue-tied there. So please tell me how to pronounce your name.
Emil.
Emil.
Yes.
I am so sorry.
No worries.
I was on a roll, and then I see this message, and I didn't know how to make sense of it. So, Emil, thank you so much for coming through. So what's at stake in Brazil?
Well, it's a bit like what we've seen in the United States. Pretty much, I would say, the soul of Brazil, which isn't much of an exaggeration. The incumbent Jair Bolsonaro is a highly controversial person, and in my personal view, he's not a very nice person to start with. You know, he has made some very unpleasant statements, homophobic statements, racist statements, but he's much loved by a significant portion of the population. People who believe that Lula is and his Workers' Party are communists, and that they will lead Brazil to the precipice and turn Brazil into the next Venezuela. Even though Lula and the Workers' Party have a precedent of actually not turning Brazil into a communist state, but into a highly thriving economy. Right. Because Lula understood one thing very clearly, that there can be no growth without social inclusion. And the converse, there can be no social inclusion without an economy that is doing well.
Right. And so what are the options for Brazilians at the moment? Because pundits seem to think that's really the choice that they have at a presidential level, either Bolsonaro or Lula, nothing in between.
Yeah, it's like they say in Portuguese, it's either 8 or 80, nothing in between. They are polar opposites and extremes. Bolsonaro became president in 2018 riding on an anti-corruption sentiment. And despite that, his government has been plagued with allegations of corruption itself. Mm-hmm. He's also had a disastrous management of the COVID pandemic. Brazil was the country with the second highest death toll after the United States. He made fun of people suffering from COVID. He imitated people suffocating from the disease. So he's generally not a very nice person. But from an international perspective and an environmental perspective, his policies towards the Amazon and climate change have also been disastrous. Mm-hmm. Under his watch, the Amazon, record portions of the Amazon have been burned down and destroyed. And the way things stand now with climate change, we cannot afford to have any virgin rainforest be burned down, whether in Brazil, whether in Africa, because the DRC and the Congo also have to play a role there. But with a president that blatantly denies climate change, I sincerely think that Jair Bolsonaro is a threat to the future of the planet.
But before we do, before we consider what each man represents, let's just talk about basic things. Like, Bolsonaro is 67 years old and Lula is 77 years old.
Yes.
Does age have any bearing on this election? Do people look at them and think, oh my gosh, no?
No, I haven't picked up that anybody said that Lula might be too old, different from what people say about Joe Biden. So I think Lula, for his age, is in remarkably good shape.
Okay, so let's get back to the basics. So what the winner needs is an outright majority in order for this election to be decided in round one, which is what happened yesterday.
Yes.
And by the time people went to the polls, Lula was ahead by at least 15 percentage points, and some say even more. So is there a sense that he's a shoe-in?
Yes. I think those opinion polls were highly inaccurate, and Bolsonaro has made a lot of that, saying, listen, you said I was going to lose by a landslide, and it so happens that the opinion polls were wrong. I also think that the Labour Party, Workers' Party, and the left in Brazil were too optimistic and too assured of Lula's chances of success. Mm. The anti-Workers' Party sentiment runs very high, and I think the left in Brazil underestimated that.
And what about Lula's car wash scandal involvement and the fact that, you know, whilst he was a stellar head of state, he did ultimately go to prison for corruption? Won't that count against him?
It's been counting against him, and Bolsonaro has made a lot about the fact that under Lula's watch there had been this massive corruption scandal. But what I have to say about Operation Car Wash and Lula is, first of all, the judge and the prosecutor in that case actively colluded with each other, and that tarnished the whole procedure. And the question I've always asked is, if Lula was as guilty as everybody claims that he was, then his conviction should have been fairly straightforward. It should not have been necessary for the judge and the prosecutor to unethically collude with each other. It would have been a slam dunk case. So for that reason alone, I think there's serious doubt about how guilty, if any, Lula really was.
But does that translate with the voter who's making a decision? Because they did see a president go to jail.
Yes, it does. For the left-leaning voters, Lula is a martyr that was innocently sacrificed so that Bolsonaro could be elected in 2018. Yeah. For Bolsonaro's electors, Lula is plain straightforward a crook who should not even have been allowed to run in this presidential election. That's simply how polar opposite the views are.
And Bolsonaro has indicated that he might not accept a result if he loses outright, because he's already said quite openly he believes that the system, the electoral system, is not clean and transparent, and that electoral commissioners might be compromised. Does he have a leg to stand on?
No, none at all. Brazil's election system is an electronic system. It's very quick. The results were out very fast. And there has never been, in all the years that it's been used, for about 25 years, any problems. So this is just Bolsonaro playing by the Trump playbook to cast doubt about the election in case he loses.
Okay, so let's go to the election issues. I have read a few op-eds, and some of them really concur with your view that the economy is the central issue here, and then the secondary issue here is the issue around the Amazon, because 15% of the Amazon rainforest has been destroyed under Jair Bolsonaro's watch. We also saw it for days and days as the Amazon rainforest burnt because of mining and logging activities, climate change, and this is a huge issue in Brazil. Why is environmentalism a huge social and political issue in the country?
Well, Brazil is a major beef exporter, and if you've ever tasted a Brazilian barbecue, you can understand why. Brazilian beef is delicious. Yeah. But there's not enough space and farmland for Brazilian beef. So major Brazilian ranchers are deforesting more and more areas of the Amazon, on the one hand to plant soy for cattle feed, and on the other hand for bigger ranches. They push in the cattle there to graze, and that's why meat has such a huge environmental impact, because it destroys carbon-absorbing rainforest without compensating for it in any way. And these the Brazilian agriculture is a major political force, and not one that any president will want to alienate. Mm. Even Lula has been very careful not to want to alienate the Brazilian agriculture, even though they are, despite their contribution to the destruction of the Amazon. So it's a thorny issue, because they create a lot of jobs, they bring in a lot of foreign currency for Brazil, and that makes it a difficult issue to deal with.
Right. On the economic side, we've seen some devaluation of the reais, and we've seen Brazil's economy contract, and yes, some of it had to do with COVID, but many are saying it also has to do with economic policies. Could you just tell us how Brazil went from being a leading BRICS economy and the eighth largest economy in the world to the declines we've seen in the last few years?
That's a question that has many answers. Lula's success in the first decade of the century was largely in part to a commodities boom, which subsided when his successor Dilma was elected. Mm-hmm. So, and Lula's presidency must be seen in that light. Even though I'm a big fan of Lula, he had it lucky when he was president.
Right.
And Dilma didn't have it as lucky. Now, Jair Bolsonaro's economic policies have not been that inclusive of poor people in Brazil, and many of them have been excluded from the economy lately.
Right.
And I think that's what probably played a large part. You know, the Brazilian economy started focusing on the rich and the prosperous rather than on the poor and the homeless.
Okay, which is in line with sort of a conservative approach to the economy as well. You've seen it under Trump as well. They say he's anti-dollar. I don't understand what that means. Is he?
Who?
Bolsonaro.
Sorry, I didn't get that. That is anti what?
Dollar.
Anti the US dollar?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be surprised if that's the case, because he is an immense fan of Donald Trump's United States. You know, he was caught on record apparently saying to Donald Trump at the United Nations that, "I love you." So, he's tried to emulate Donald Trump in every respect possible.
And then let's talk about BRICS and what BRICS represents, because some have said that there was a momentum for BRICS, you know, in the last decade. And then obviously with COVID and China contracting and China shutting down for more than 18 months, it's had a real detrimental impact on BRICS and BRICS's ability to deploy capital and get involved in projects that they want. But then also, we've not just seen the COVID issue, we've seen the Russia issue, and we've also seen the decline of Brazil. And when Brazil is not working and China's in slowdown and Russia's in a war, it really raises the question of, is there a BRICS to speak of going forward?
Yes. Look, I think there's always going to be space for these five countries, and maybe more, you know, which include Indonesia and other major rising economies as well, to work together. At the moment, we're obviously in a very difficult situation because of the war in Ukraine. Does BRICS really want to be associated with a Russia that attacks its neighbors? But just looking from an African perspective and a South African perspective, you know, under the Lula presidency, there were 12 direct flights between South Africa and Brazil. At the moment, there's none. Anybody that wants to go to Brazil now has to fly at great expense via the Middle East or Ethiopia. Mm. And Lula incentivized a lot of investments using the BRICS Forum in Africa, in Angola and Mozambique, as you mentioned at the beginning. And this had spin-offs for South Africa. Those Brazilian companies used South African banks, South African law firms, South African suppliers for their project in Angola and Mozambique. That's something that Jair Bolsonaro couldn't care less about. At the moment, South Africa doesn't even have there's not even a Brazilian ambassador in South Africa. That's how little Bolsonaro seems to care for the relationships with Africa. So, you know, when you talked about how much employment Lula created, some of that employment was created in Africa, and it was created right here in South Africa as well. I personally benefited from that the decade that I set up my law firm, and my law firm grew a lot, and I could employ a lot of people because of the investments that Lula brought to Africa.
Right. So this has been a huge setback then, from what you're saying, of Brazil-Africa relationships. And Brazil was also sort of the gateway to the rest of South America, because banks were setting up satellite offices, not just in Brazil, but in Argentina as well, using that corridor as well.
Right.
So what do we know about the election? It took place last night in terms of Brazilian time, our night, their day. The results are coming through. What do early indicators tell us?
Okay, so Lula got about 48.5% of the vote, and Jair Bolsonaro got about 43%. And then all the other lesser candidates divided the rest. Now, I think a lead of 5% in such a polarized country is actually very good. The question is going to be, what will the electors of the candidates who we eliminated do during round two, which is going to take place on the 30th of October? Many of them are what's called neither Bolsonaro, neither Lula. So they might abstain from voting. Well, voting in Brazil is obligatory, but if you don't want to support anybody, you just go and annul your vote. So they might go and annul their vote, and that would be good for Lula, because then he'll be carried through. But there are many people who support Bolsonaro's policies, even though they might find him as a person repulsive, who might then decide, okay, look, I don't want this, what I see as a former crook, former jailbird, in the presidency. And yes, I don't like Bolsonaro's statements and these environmental policies, but rather him than Lula. So if those 7%, 8% of votes that went to the lesser candidates go for Bolsonaro, then he might very well be carried over on the 30th of October. So Lula must not rest on his laurels.
Okay, and so let's just talk about, if Lula wins, What are the things he needs to do? And I'll tell you why I'm saying this. We're told that he's likely to win, but he's likely to inherit a parliament and Senate that is made up of a coalition of conservatives.
Yes.
So those Bolsonaro supporters are still MPs and senators, and they are likely to be retained. So here is this liberal president likely to be elected. We'll see. But this is the parliament he's going to have to work with. So there's going to need to be stakeholder building at that level. And then once he can do that, if he wins, it's going to be the policies he's going to need to vote through in order to urgently transform the Brazilian economy. So what are the first things that the new president of Brazil would have to do, bearing in mind that Lula might or might not win this election?
Okay, yes. A lot of Bolsonaro's allies have been elected into the Congress and the Senate last night. And they, together with the other centrist parties, would then form a majority bloc. Lula would have to negotiate with them, and that's nothing new in Brazilian politics. There have been several scandals over the past 25 years, or 30 years since Brazil became a democracy again, where the incumbent has to offer benefits, sometimes above board, sometimes not so much, to the parliamentarians in order to get their support for his project. Now, Lula has managed to do that, and he's a skillful negotiator, and the parliamentarians will also want to be on his side, at least seem to be on his side in several respects, if they want to achieve their goals. But this is not something that's new in Brazilian politics. And right. I think Lula will be able to handle that well.
And if Bolsonaro wins this election, is it more of the same, or is he going to have to introspect and review a few of his own policies?
No, it will be simply more of the same. He, you know, any president in his second term has free rein because he doesn't have, she doesn't have to think about re-election. I think Bolsonaro has learned a few things in this election, namely that not everybody likes him and not everybody likes his policies, and that he will have to adopt a more conciliatory tone towards the left. Because, I mean, he trails the left at the moment, and the 48% of the people who supported Lula last night is not a contingency that he can ignore. He will have to start looking at the poor. He will have to start looking at policies to uplift them again. He cannot just rule for the banks and the major corporations. So I would hope that his eyes have opened after last night. But also knowing him, I'm not too optimistic about that.
Emil, thank you so much for coming through. He's Emil Myburgh, who is with Emil Myburgh Attorneys, talking to us about the situation in Brazil right now. Brazilians went to the polls yesterday in Brazilian time for the first round of elections. Many, you know, politicians vying for the position, but the most prominent being the former president, Lula da Silva, and the incumbent president, Jair Bolsonaro. They represent two very different sides of the political spectrum. Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva being a former president, left-leaning, pursuing a social democratic agenda. And when he was president between 2003 and 2010, absolutely fundamentally transformed Brazil to becoming one of the leading economies in the world. But he was implicated in a scandal, a corruption scandal. Jair Bolsonaro coming in 2017-2018, very controversially. And then with COVID shutdowns, Brazil started to seriously underperform. And there's been serious encroachment on the Amazon rainforest, which is the lungs of Latin America, is how environmentalists describe the Amazon rainforest. 15% of it burnt as he makes way for a large-scale commercial agriculture. And that, together with the economy, have become really divisive issues that will decide the election. And as Emil says, the first round of elections, the results have come through. Bolsonaro at 43, Lula da Silva coming in at 48%. It takes it to a second round at the end of October. Barring any kind of political machinations, there is a sense that Lula would win this election. But what's really urgently needed is a complete transformation of Brazil, which has been a member of BRICS. Thank you very much for that conversation.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.